Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. I'm talking this morning on why sit me here till I die. Why sit me here? Why sit? You can write your neighbor's name there. Why sit we here till we die? Why sit we here? The theme, thy kingdom come. I believe in my heart that this is a very profound thing for this season. I believe strongly, even for us as a nation, where we are as a nation, that it's critical for us to understand what God is doing in this season. And that's why this theme is very pivotal. This theme is very critical. And I want to plead with you in the name of Jesus. Anyone that is trying to distract you now is the Satan sent to you from the pit of hell. You don't need any other devil. Anybody that is telling you anything to get your mind off what God wants to speak to your heart right now is that Satan sent to you from the pit of hell. I want you to have optimum attention. Do you know that attention is the price you pay for understanding? That's why they say pay attention. Attention is a price that is very scarce in my generation. People say that we have very low attention span. And people miss out on many things that God wants to do in their life because their attention span is very low. I mean, they even boast about it. If you don't make sense in the next 5 seconds, I tune off. If you don't make sense in 10 seconds, I tune off. Do you know how many years it took God to make sense out of Jesus? 400 years. Every prophet was saying something. Nobody understood what they were saying. Isaiah spoke about it, David spoke about it, Moses spoke about it. Nobody understood what they were saying. 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, silence, even until Jesus died and rose, nobody understood what God was saying. If everybody said that my attention span is so low, I tune off. They'd have tuned off from the Genesis. Pay attention. Everything Elisha had to pay at the brink of his destiny was attention. He had served Elijah for 10 years. 10 years of discipleship is now hanging on the season, on a little rope called attention. Elijah said, if you see me when I'm taken, you have what you want. How many of you know that as Elisha was following Elijah, it's possible one small scooter passed like this? Is it possible? If Elisha said, which scooter be this? And Elijah is taken away. That means that scooter was what cost him 10 years of discipleship. And sometimes what God wants to do is in a moment of a long season, in a moment, they call it Kairos moment, a moment, just a little moment. And people have missed out on years of waiting because they missed out on the most critical part of their moment. It's a Kairos moment, season. And distraction is the strongest weapon of the enemy against my generation. Even if the government wants to do something and they see that we are fighting, they can just give us Big Brother Niger. Just distract us. Are you following my point? Just something, just throw distraction. People are pushing rubbish. People have lost out on many things that could have been theirs because they lost attention. That man said in the book of 1 Kings, he said, while I was busy here and there, he went. While I was busy here and there. Joshua chapter 13 verse 1, the theme, thy kingdom come. God was speaking to Joshua, says, when Joshua was an old man, please give it to me in King James. You have King James? Is it King James in my back? Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said to him, Thou art old. If the Lord says you are old, boy, you are old. If the Ancient of Days says you are old, boy, you are old. Thou art old and stricken in years. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. You will not procrastinate your deed of happening in the name of Jesus. Joshua was old, but there was still much to be done. There was still so much to achieve, so much to accomplish, but Joshua was old. My emphasis tonight, I'll lay the foundation, I'll finish tomorrow morning, is to steer your heart to go for all that the kingdom needs from you. And the kingdom needs more from you. The kingdom of God needs more. God says, there remaineth much land, but thou art old. There remaineth much land, but thou art lazy. There remaineth much land, but thou art distracted. There's so much that is wasting away, but thou art old. There remaineth much, so much land. And if you read Joshua chapter 10, verse chapter 11, you see Joshua praising himself, saying how he has gone this, he has done this, he has gotten that, he has gotten this. But God says, look, there remaineth much land. May you not waste your season in the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says that when we get to heaven, they would wipe away tears from our eyes. Why are we weeping in heaven? That they now need to wipe away tears from our eyes. It's because when they show you what they wrote against your name, when they show you what they wrote against your name, and you measure it to what you achieve on earth, you may cry. You may cry. There are many, many places in scriptures, the Bible says not to fear. Many, many places. There's only one place it says to be afraid in Hebrews. It says, fear, lest any of you fall short of what has been made available for you. Let your fear be the guy. I don't want to fall short of what God made possible in my name. Be afraid. There remaineth much land, so much to achieve, so much to be done for the kingdom of God. But thou art old. In Luke chapter 4, verse 42 to verse 43, I'm laying foundation tonight, like I said, Luke chapter 4, this is my timer. Luke chapter 4, verse 42 to verse 43, King James, and when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him. The people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. The people begged him, please don't leave us alone. In verse 43, it says, and he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Can you give it to me in NLT? Same verse 42, verse 43 in NLT. I saw you have NLT. But he replied, verse 42 says, early the next morning, that's it, Jesus went out to an isolated place. The crowd searched everywhere for him. And when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns, in other places. I cannot come and die here. I cannot come and die here. People will beg you to stay with them. Your parents can beg you to stay with them. Don't die there. There's so much to be done outside where you are. God called Abraham from his father's house. Leave. There's so much to be done for the kingdom. The kingdom of God is limitless. But one thing that can keep you back is your sense of familiarity. You know, the Bible says when Lot departed from Abraham, God spoke to him. God says, lift up your head, O Abraham. Look northward, southward, westward, eastward, all the lands that you see. When Lot departed, you see, Lot is the familiar. Familiar. Family. And the reason why some of us, our destinies are limited, is that we are so used to family. We're not willing to leave. There's so much God can do with your life outside where you are, but you want to stay where you are celebrated. You want to stay where you are loved. May you not be loved away from destiny. Love does not set free. It is the truth that sets free. And love can be your limitation. Love can be this why you remain small. Because they love you so much, they love you to your smallness. Love can make you small. Don't be a local champion. Leave. Go somewhere else. Expand. Some of you write a book. You write a book. You know that you wrote rubbish. You cannot market the book outside the confines of your friends. Because your friends cannot tell you truth that you wrote rubbish. And so you choose validation over a global significance. You choose a feeling of being loved over global relevance. You cannot market your book or market your product. What you sing is nonsense. We cannot tell you. We cannot tell you, but if you take it outside, they will tell you. And if you are addicted to validation, you will not grow. Take it outside. Take it outside the confines of people that love you. Let people look at what you do. Let people look at what you have done. Jesus says, I must preach this gospel somewhere else. Don't kill me here. Keep me close here. You know, when I was in Lagos, I was the king of my village in Lagos. Played the piano. I was the best pianist. Best pianist in my village church. Somewhere they call Alakuko in Lagos. And I could play so much in my own eyes. Do mi so, fa la do, do mi so. I was celebrated in my village. They loved me in my village. Be careful of love. Love does not set free. It's the truth that sets free. I tell you the truth. Many people have been loved to you from destiny. Do you know the Bible says that, I can't go there. It will take me far away. The Bible says the motto of counselors is safety. And you say counselors can save you from destiny. I tell you the truth. When Elijah looked at Elisha and said, wait here, the Lord has sent me to Jericho. You see, he wanted to save him from the burden of being a prophet. He looked at that boy and pitied him. He was trying to avoid. You don't get my point. He didn't have anything to lose. But he looked at that boy. His own head was about to go for it. He was running for his own life. He looked at that boy and wanted to save him the stress of being a prophet over a nation. And some of people that love you are going to love you from destiny. I tell you the truth. If you're not ready to confront your own life like this, they're going to tell you, no, it's too difficult. Don't go there. Don't try it. So I was the best pianist in my area. When I come like this, everybody respects me. Yes, please. Can you share, please? When I went to Bafuma Olo University, and one day I was playing the piano in one of my professor's office, because it's also family. He's my uncle. You see that? Familia. My uncle's church. So I was playing the piano in his office. And one guy, they call his name Dr. Sam, was passing by the medical White House. And he heard me playing. He said, he's playing. And knocked the door. And came and said, hey guy, do you mind if I play a little bit? I said, yes. And then the guy played. He played. Within 5 minutes, he was on the blue scales. He was running the chromatic scales. I went on my knees. I said, please teach me how to play the piano. He looked at me and says, carry this piano. Meet me in the third floor. You know, pastor says something. He says, without sacrifice, we can't understand commitment. That's a true measure for seriousness. He said, carry this piano. Meet me in the third floor, PGO, every night. Every night I'll carry PSL 630 up third floor. He will abuse me. He will rubbish me. He told me that you forget all that jargons I'm playing for my village. That I should assume I've never played piano in my life before. I say, me that I'm a king. Me that they respect me where I'm coming from. He said, all those. You're looking for a mentor you love. You are looking for a God that will pamper you. And so, he taught me how to play the piano. My hands were born. One day I carried, I started weeping. I said, I be God, did not send me to play the piano. Because he knew so much, but I subjected myself. The Bible says Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things he suffered. My generation has to be taught that happiness is not the goal. Betterment is the goal. That's why the Bible says two shall become better. Two are better than one. It didn't say two are happier. And people are looking for someone to make them happy. Marriage is not designed to make you happy. Marriage is designed to make you better. And so all the things that the Holy Ghost has been trying to teach you that you did not learn before, you will learn it in marriage now. Married people can tell you what I'm saying. You know, I'm a very impatient person. And the Holy Ghost has been telling me many times to try to work on this, my patience, by saying, Lai, Lai, I don't have time. But when I got married, and we're about to be late, I say, oh my God, I will bang my head on this steering. Ah! My wife said, I'm coming. Ah, what kind of life is this? Ah! The Holy Ghost said, calm down, calm down. Learn patience. You see that? And you see that this makes you better, not happier. So, but my generation is in love with happiness. So you smoke crack because it makes you happy. I say, do things that make you happy. I say, no, do things that make you better. Do things, go through things that make you better. Jesus said, I must leave this place, go to other places. They were begging him. They love you here. Why leave where people love you? But the kingdom demands that you stretch beyond where you are. Somebody needs to stretch this season. You have opened one shop, open two. Open three. Go to the fourth one. Try another thing. That's how to stretch. I must preach, he said. I must preach the gospel in all other cities also. There's something that they call contentment in scriptures. You see, and there's holy contentment, and there's what they call complacency that people thought was contentment. And there's a world of them between contentment and complacency. Please listen to me carefully. Should I be contented with what I have? Godly contentment is trusting God for provision, not wasting away the purpose and the plans and the opportunities he has given to you. Godly contentment is, I trust God that God will provide. Godly contentment is not staying in one place. Are you following my point? You are not answering me very well. Godly contentment is not that you have one and you stay with one. Godly contentment is that you trust God to provide more. I call it gratitude but dissatisfied. I'm grateful, Lord, but I'm dissatisfied. I'm grateful, Lord, but I want more. The kingdom desires and desires more. To remain small, when God has called you to build his kingdom, is not humility, it's disobedience. To choose small. You know, our church started small. Our church started 5 people. Most churches start small. But I said, no, Lord, I cannot pastor small church. I said, how can you say that? Anything you want, God give to you. Anything you have, that's how God wants. No, 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 that's not how it works. So. That song, Les Sarah, Sarah, whatever we be, you know, song? Whatever we be may not be. Oh. Say, you know, that you have people that contend with whatever want to be with you. I'm even that you know, your degree, you went for it, it didn't come for you. If you went to university, yeah. How many of you agree with me that your degree, that whatever will be, is not how you got your degree? How did you get your degree? Did you sit down and talk and say, whatever will be? To remain small is disobedience. To choose small is disobedience. I'm going to share some secrets tonight because I don't want to go beyond my time. To remain small, choose small, is disobedience. When God has given you capacity for enlargement, the kingdom needs your enlargement. You need to be big for God's sake. I'm telling the truth. You need to be large for the sake of the kingdom. It's so important that we are taught as Christians that if there is more that God has made provision for, go for that more. Don't stay with small. In 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 3, very popular scripture, the Bible says, why sit we here and die? Many people have told me, Pastor Philip, what's your favorite character in the Bible? I say, maybe it's Paul. I say, it's not Paul. I say, is it David? I say, it's not David. I say, who is the best person? Is it Peter? I say, no. I say, it's this four leprous men. The four leprous men sat and say, why sit we here and die? They did not hear from God. They did not hear a prophecy. They just sat and say, my life can be better than this. My life can be better than this. The prodigal son, Bible says, came to his mind, came to himself and said, how many hired servants do my father have? How many of you know that when he was eating that pig food and that man slapped his face, if I see your hand again, it is my pig food. How many of you know that I can say, is it because I'm eating it in the afternoon? I'm going to eat it in the night. How many of you know I can say that? How many of you know that you can just re-strategize? And that's how many people are adjusting their life inside ghetto. God is trying to provoke something in your spirit that you are bigger than where you are. But you did not see what God is doing. That your boss that slapped your face is trying to tell you something. You are bigger than where you are. You are bigger than this place. But you adjust. You adjust. You are squatting in a place. They say they lost money. Everybody look you. You are adjusting. God is trying to remind you something. You are bigger than this place. 70 Israelites went to Egypt. 70 of them, Jacob and his children and his servants. They were 70. They gave them a land allotted for 70 people. They called that land Goshen. 70 people were living in Goshen. They grew to 3 million. 3 million people living in a land allotted for 70 people. Goshen had become a ghetto. What was Israel doing? Adjusting. Adjusting. God looked down from heaven. This is not what I promised Abraham. And these people are not going to pray. You know why they spent 430 years or 400 years? They were adjusting. They did not pray. So God went and stirred up a Pharaoh. A Pharaoh that beat the hell out of their head. So that they can cry out to God. And God can hear their cry. Because God cannot save you from a situation you are comfortable with. You see that? He cannot save you from a circumstance or a condition you are okay with. It needs to make you uncomfortable in that place. So that you can cry out. So they cry out. Goshen. 70 people now living like slaves. But they kept managing it. And managing it. Tap your neighbor. You are not tapping your neighbor. Say, tap your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Say, go for more. I'm going to list out some few points. Why sit we here and die? I'll emphasize that more tomorrow morning. Number one, write this down. Your growth expands God's territory. Your growth expands God's kingdom. Your growth, that's why you need to grow. You see, we are in the kingdom. And this kingdom has a king. The name of the king is God. This is not democracy. Like we practice something like that. We practice something like that in Nigeria. Just something that I want to look like democracy. It's a kingdom. In the kingdom, the king's word is law. Somebody was asking me, Bro Philip, what do you think about two people who love each other so much? They love each other very well. They have decided they're going to marry each other. In fact, they have met each other's parents. Everybody already know them. What is your opinion about them having sex before marriage? I say, I don't used to have opinion on issues that God's word already has a verdict. Sorry, I'm in Delta. How can God talk? And me too. I say, I have opinion. I know I have opinion. I can't have an opinion when God has spoken over a matter. All I have is obedience. If somebody comes to me, Pastor Philip, please meet my wife. The Lord says this is my wife. You know you are not asking me for my opinion. And a lot of people do that. They come and say, Pastor, I've prayed about God says this is my wife. Even if I already saw that she's a witch, I'm going to join you to that witch. Very fast. Since you have already said that it was God that said this is your wife, that means God wants to marry a witch. I will not even say anything. Because God's word is law. In this kingdom, we don't have opinion. We don't have our say. We don't say our mind. We don't think that what do you think? I don't think. God has already spoken. I don't think about it. The Bible says, once has he spoken, twice. I only hear twice. And the second time is me that said it again. So that I can remind myself. I don't have opinion on premarital sex. I don't have opinion. There is no right way to do a bad thing. There's no right way to do a bad thing. A sister was staying with a brother she's not married to. A cohabitating. Cohabitating. They were cohabit. And she said she's living with that brother. And the only reason why she's living with that brother, even though she's not married to him, is because she wants to be attending our church. I'm telling you that if she leaves that brother and goes back home to her parents' house, she'll be forced to attend her parents' church. I said, be going to your parents' church. We will meet in heaven. Be going to your parents. We will meet in heaven. We will meet in heaven. Heaven at last. Heaven is the goal. Don't from my church go to hell. There is no right way to do a wrong thing. God's word is law. Anything God said, bear, Lord, that's how it is. Perfect. Nothing can change it. His word is law. Number one, your growth increases God's territory. Have you written that down? Yes. Now, while it is true that the earth belongs to God, yet the portion of it that you have is his physical manifestation of that scripture. Let me say it again. While it is true that the earth belongs to God, please follow me closely, yet the portion you have, that's your 1,000 square meter, is a physical manifestation of that scripture. God has only what you have. Are you following my point? So that's why you see, you have to go beyond survival mode. It is what you have that God has. If what you have in Delta is small, what God has in Delta is small. You are a kingdom citizen. You are not here by your power. You are an emissary. You are an ambassador. You are deployed from heaven. What you are able to lay hold here is what God has command over. Are you following my point? Your growth, I just hope that didn't go over your head. Your growth is what expands God's territory. God said to Joshua, everywhere the sole of your feet rests, I will do what? I will give to you. Everywhere. Everywhere. So if your soul treads Delta, what will I do to you? If you tread Lagos, what will I do to you? So who determines the scope of Joshua's territory? Joshua. Why God has given him a commandment is an agreement. I will give you where you tread. Anywhere you don't tread,
I will not give to you.
So when Joshua treads a place, it becomes the boundary of Israel. And that's what God has. That's why you cannot be small. You cannot want small. You cannot say, well, yeah, what are we living life for? Some say, Pastor Philip, are you really saying, are you not saying that everybody can be wealthy? Can everybody be wealthy? If everybody cannot wealthy you, why do you choose to be poor? Why do you volunteer? That you just say, why is every, since everybody cannot be wealthy, some of us must be poor. How come you decide to occupy that poor vacancy? How? That's why you cannot be small. What you have is what God has. Your growth will create expansion for his kingdom. Are you following my point? I'm going to lay a very solid work on this, and I want you to please follow me closely. Please. What you have is what God has. The souls we win are what God has. The souls we win are the people that God, how many of you know that? That the people that we preach to and win their souls, they become the people of God. Every other person is going to hell. How many of you know what I'm saying? How many of you agree what I'm saying? The people that we don't win their souls are going to hell. They become the devil's people. It's a game of numbers. Don't even let them lie to you. You are here for a purpose. The money you have is what God has. The influence you have is what God, your influence in that office is what God has. God does not have what you don't have. You are very important in this equation. Talking about the kingdom of God. It's a game of numbers. We speak all the time about Esther. Esther in scriptures. And how that Esther was able to stand for the kingdom in Babylon. How many of you know that the only reason why Esther was able to do what she was able to do is that she had courage as a slave to apply to be queen? Because you don't see that part of the story. This girl was a slave. Where are all our other slave colleagues? How, what courage does a slave have to apply to be queen in a nation that enslaved her? How many of you know that Esther became a queen, and it was because she was in government that she was able to ensure that Israel was not destroyed? How many of you know that Satan may not drag this mic with me like this now? You can see. Can you see Satan? But Satan can go and alter my preaching for Maso Rock. You are not getting what I'm saying. Satan may not be here with me dragging this mic, but you can say, hey, we are now. And create a policy from government. And if we don't deliberately, intentionally disciple believers to go into government, we are playing with hell. We have a Muslim government now. Before our eyes, our church has the biggest church in the world, has the biggest country in the world. And I heard one time the president went and said, yeah, you guys have numbers. You don't know how to use it. We use it for you. We have numbers. Esther was able to influence the king because she was in government. That's kingdom. There's somebody here. You don't have to stand behind the pulpit. That place might be your pulpit. Anywhere you pull men out of the pit is your pulpit. Anywhere where you are pulling men out of the pit of darkness, that's your pulpit. Whether it's academics, whether it's medicine, whether it's government, that's kingdom. Not everybody has to stand behind the church, stand behind the stage. And I say it all the time. I was heavily criticized for it. I was heavily criticized for that because people don't understand this thing. Look, not everybody's going to be a pastor. Some people have to be out there. The Bible says the light shines in darkness. The light does not shine in light. See, we want to use light to finish ourselves here. Your light is entering my eyes. Look for a dark place and shine this your light there. You see, it's in church we like to intimidate each other with tongues. Go out. Go out. Carry your book. This thing you wrote. Carry it outside. That's what they're going to say about it. When we talk about the secular world, and I say it because I practiced law for many years before I went to ministry. I practiced law well for many years before I went to ministry. Not every Christian will hide behind the walls of the church. Somebody must go out. God needs children outside these walls. That's kingdom. We speak English here because some people left Europe and came to Nigeria. Is that not true? See my suit now. I'm a Yoruba man. Yoruba man, I'm supposed to wear what? I'm wearing suit and tie. I have been colonized. They infiltrated and changed my mindset. If all the people that came to Nigeria stayed back in UK, we will not be wearing suits in Nigeria today. If everybody says, no, I cannot live where I am, the colony of Europe will not spread throughout Africa. We cannot die here. It's a mindset. God needs us. Infiltrating every system is so terrible because what we are suffering today is that we woke up very late. We woke up very little. Satan, darkness does not have a definition of itself. Please listen to me. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. Anywhere light lives, darkness occupies. So when light left government, darkness. You see, there is no socket to switch on darkness. You can't switch on darkness. You switch off light. So the absence of light is darkness. Everywhere. Look at our secular songs. When we were young, there were many secular songs we could sing as children. What adults were singing was what children were singing. Hear your papa, hear your mama. Life go better for you. You know songs? You know those songs? Choki, choki, choki. That's how secular songs. When did they start kissing in movies? When? You see, anywhere the entertainment industry goes down, the community goes down. The moment they started kissing in movies, started having sex in movies, we started seeing it in the communities. A society will follow its music. But what happened? Christians ran away. All of us ran away and hid in the church. And darkness filled the earth. Go out, he says. Shine your light. That's kingdom. In your office, you are light. You are light. God doesn't need you. Don't join them. Don't join them to falsify documents. You are light there. It is not you that you are Christian. You are toasting your colleague like that. Don't disgrace light. Some of people cannot even post church on their status. Pastor Sam, some people can't post church fly on their status. Because their colleagues will be shocked. You run again? You go to church? Because there's nothing in their life that shows it. You tell them, post flyer, they don't put it, I forgot. Or they block everybody in the office. Only the pastor will see the flyer. Your growth expands the kingdom of God. It takes growth to expand the kingdom of God. Do you know it took a star to lead wise men to Jesus? This thing that I said, I just hope you understood what I said. It took a star to lead wise men to Jesus. It takes stars to lead wise men to Jesus. Anybody can lead foolish men to Jesus. But it takes a star. You cannot be a mediocre. if you are going to lead wise men to Jesus. You cannot lead wise men from the floor. You lead them from up there in the heights. You must be someone they can look up to lead them to Jesus. That's kingdom. You cannot be the one that doesn't know anything in the office. You are the one that come late to office. You are the one that does a shoddy job. Why did Nebuchadnezzar bow before Jesus? Why did the kings of Babylon bow before God? They saw Daniel. The Bible says there was none like Daniel in the whole of the city. That's light. That's kingdom. It takes stars to expand. It takes stars to lead men to Jesus. Number two, your increase will fund kingdom advance. Please listen to me very carefully. Like I said, I'm laying foundation tonight. Your increase will fund kingdom advance. In Genesis chapter 12 verse 2, the Bible says the Lord will bless you and you will be a blessing. The purpose of the Lord blessing you is because he wants you to be a blessing. God cannot bless if he has not blessed through you. God wants to increase you so that you will be a blessing. It is so important for you to be blessed for the kingdom's sake. And because Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17, help me. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. And I want to show you something in the scripture. Jeremiah chapter, Zechariah 1 17. Look at that. Read for me. Everybody read for me. 1, 2, go. What does it say? Yes? Yes? The Bible says, my cities through prosperity shall spread. You see, that's why Satan doesn't want you to prosper. I find people give arguments like, does that go to pay tithe? Does this person, does he go to church? Is he not rich? Satan doesn't mind money in the hands of a sinner. You know, Satan doesn't mind money in the hands of a sinner. Hope you know that. The Bible says the promotion of a fool or the prosperity of a fool shall destroy them. Satan doesn't mind. They are not, their prosperity is not a threat to him. The Bible says, my cities through prosperity. That means Satan knows that no matter how spiritual you are, if you don't prosper, you cannot spread that spirituality. He knows. So, he prefers you poor. You are a lesser risk to him because you can't infect much with your spirituality. You can't do much with it. God needs to put funds in your hands. My flight was paid to come here. They did not go there and pray in tongues. They did not go there and confess. They paid the ticket for me to be here this evening. Satan knows that you will, by necessity, need money. All those days when we were young, there's a Gideon's Bible that we used to have, a blue New Testament Bible. Have you know that Bible? That Bible, billions and billions of copies of that Bible were printed and spread around the world. It took billions of dollars to be able to do that. And Satan knows that the most dangerous thing is money in the hands of a righteous man. Satan knows. And that is why it is selfish for you to choose to be poor. You are very selfish. It is selfishness. You are self-centered. You are thinking about yourself alone. And so long I'm able to pay my house rent, so long I'm able to eat two square or three square meal, and I'm okay. That means you are not thinking about other people. I agree that you can't go to hell because you are poor, but many can go to hell because you are poor. Many will go to hell because you are poor. If you are thinking about villages, I'm on Mount Zion, that's why I bat my hair. Oh, you guys know my hair is not like this normally. Mount Zion is doing the program. They are doing the movie, Ultimate Power, Agbanala. They reached 32 years. They are doing it again, Legacy Remake. And I'm on that movie. And that's why I had to bat my hair. The camera they are using to film it is over $100,000. The camera is over $100,000 because they are putting that movie on Netflix. You see, Netflix puts a required kind of camera. a minimum requirement to be able to put your movie on that platform. And it's a global platform. And the world knows how to edge the church away with money. So that your voice is not heard. Now, so to be able to put that where the world will watch it, you have to get a camera worth over $100,000 to film it. The devil knows that poverty is one of the strongest weapons. I'm telling you to, please, I warned you before. Don't volunteer to be poor. Don't say everybody cannot be rich, so I choose to be poor. It is selfish. I'm just thinking about yourself alone. If you're thinking about other people and thinking about other nations and thinking about how the gospel must spread, then you know that you don't want to be prosperous. You need to be prosperous. The kingdom needs money in your hands. I want your mindset to change. Poverty is a curse. Poverty is so terrible. I tell you the truth. Jesus was not poor. Jesus was not poor. Don't let them paint that picture for you. Anyone that can command fishes to enter someone's net is not poor. Listen to me very carefully. If it was a business person, it would close down that fish industry. It would shut down that fish industry. If it was a business person. Anyone that can multiply bread and feed 5,000 people is not poor. If it was into bakery, it would shut down that industry. And Jesus had a boat. We'd have called it a yacht in these days. He had a boat so deep, he slept under the boat. He didn't wake up. There was under. He didn't wake up. And Jesus could say at any time, let's go to the other side. He didn't have to wait for Delta Line. His ministry was moving fast. He could be anywhere at any time he wanted. He didn't have to wait for Ife Snatch. He didn't have to wait for Galilee Line. You know, Jonah entered boats. He had to wait for the boat to be full. Jesus didn't wait for anybody. He tells disciples, let's go to that side. They move to that side fast. At any time. Poverty is a curse. You see, I want to embrace. You see, because if you don't call it its name, you are going to be pampering it. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, Jesus Christ gave a parable of a rich man and Lazarus. You know that story? You know that story? The rich man. The Bible calls him rich man and Lazarus. This Bible says Lazarus would sit under this rich man's table and eat the crumbs that fall off his table. And then there were sores in his legs and the dogs were licking his sores. Man was a poor man. The Bible says when both of them died, the rich man went to hell. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. Listen very carefully. The context of that story is that riches can't take you to heaven. That's the context of that story. Are you paying attention to me?
Yes, sir.
That riches cannot take you to heaven. That is the context of that story. That even if you are rich and you don't serve God, you may go to hell. You will go to hell. But I also learned something in that story. I noticed in that story, are you paying attention to me? That the rich man from hell told Abraham to send that man. You are not getting what I'm saying. He sent him on earth. He wanted to send him in afterlife. Even in Abraham's bosom, he looks sendable. He looked like one that can be sent errand. They were sending him errand from hellfire. That's what I'm saying. Now, if you think I'm putting it up, maybe you say it's not possible. Maybe no, they say, Pastor, no, blah, 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 blah. Let them give us that scripture now. It's in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, I don't know the verse. Help me. I don't know the verse offhand. That's the Bible. Luke 16 verse 20. Yeah. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid in sight, full of sorrows. Verse 21. Desired to be fed of the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He desired the crumbs. Moreover, dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. Verse 23. Bible says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He seeth Abraham afar off and saw Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Did you notice that he did not greet Lazarus? He did not even say, Lazarus, is this something you can do for me? Can you assist me? Are you free? Are you less busy? Lazarus, in Abraham's bosom, you must have seen David. All of them were in Abraham's bosom. Must have seen Solomon. Must have seen Daniel. But he recognized that one. This one. If I don't paint this before you very, very clearly, you might not understand the depth of what I'm saying. Give us that scripture back. Let's read on. Send Lazarus that he may dip his teeth in fingers and cool my tongue. Let him come and cool my tongue here. What's he doing there? For I'm tormented in this flame. Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, thou art tormented. Verse 26. And beside all this, between us is a great gulf fixed, so that those who are here cannot go there, and those who are there cannot come. So you see that this guy, I said they should send Abraham. You'd have thought, okay, send Lazarus. He cannot come. But he went on to verse 27 and said again, then he said, I pray thee that thou wouldest send him. Let's assume that the first one was a mistake. Terrible. He said, send him to my father's house. He didn't even say, if you just give me 2 minutes, let me go by myself. He's too rich, he can't be going up and down. Why is he going up and down when there's someone that can send? I don't know whether this is making any sense to you, but it does make sense to me. Poverty is a curse. You see, in the world today, people can get $10 billion for playing football. People can get £1 billion for selling an app. But the church cannot buy ACs. The whole world will go agog. The church is the only organization that must not be wealthy. And the way to keep a people poor and keep them, the way to keep a people powerless is to keep them poor. If you want to keep anybody powerless, keep them poor. And that's why you in your relationship, that's why you're powerless. That boy slap your face. You cannot talk. He sand you. You cannot complain. Because you are broke. You are broke. Pay attention to me. They did you anyhow. Yet you cannot leave. He told you to go to hell. You were asking for transport. You are broke. You don't have transport. You can't even go to hell. I want you to understand what I'm saying, please. And I'm not saying you should get wealthy so I can buy a new shoe and buy a new car. That's what I'm saying. If that's what you're thinking, then you have missed the point. The kingdom needs your money. The kingdom of God. And when God sees that he can trust you, for he will not entrust in your hands when he can't trust you. He must see. It's critical. The need for financial prosperity is not a desire, it's a necessity. for the kingdom. This land was bought with money. This house was built with money. Everything here, man, the gen is running. The ACs are working. Everything here is eating money by the second. We want to do something massive. We need money to do it. And so if you're a kingdom citizen, you must stop thinking about yourself alone. And that's why you must make up your mind that you must prosper. Any pipe that is flushing water cannot be dry. Any channel with which water. You know, I understand that the power of God flows through me. And I don't take the glory for God's. And I have a lot of testimonies. I don't take glory for God's testimony. I mean, a lady was bleeding for 6 months. That's too beside us at meeting. Was bleeding for 6 months. Unstoppable. I was having a program. I went, I said, I wouldn't be in that program. I wasn't in the program. Ladies knew I was coming. And she grabbed my clothes. And I didn't feel any virtue. Because I'm not the source, I'm a channel. See, the channel does not feel. The channel is not depleted. When you become channel of God's glory, you're not depleted. Because the source keeps pumping it. I understand I'm a channel. I have an unusual anointing for waiting mothers. Very unusual anointing for waiting couples. Very unusual. When I mean very unusual, if I'm going to count the babies that we've counted, baby testimonies, if I'm going to count from December till now, last September, I'll count over 60 babies. That's how heavy it is. And I understand what God is doing. But I'm not the source, I'm a channel. Now, the most critical part of this anointing is that if I come and eat in people's house, they must get pregnant. So I will go to their house. And when I go, they will serve plenty food. And I know that they don't love me. As I'm eating, I know that they're not giving me this food because of their love for me. They want me to eat fast and perform. So it's embarrassing for me. I would go, I would sit down, they would bring all the food. Most times I'm fasting. Most times I'm always fasting. Ah, God. As I'm eating, the husband and wife is waiting for me. I'm eating. So it has happened many, many times. And some of them will not teach. Ah, just beg him to come and eat in your house. Just beg him to come and eat. Tell his wife, if he doesn't listen, just beg his wife. His wife will beg him. You come and eat in your house. So the last one that I went, because I don't like going. Because I'm not hungry. You see that? And I cannot say this on social media. People are busy. If you're hungry, say you're hungry. Which one is eating business? They have children. You think about we are children. We don't have brain. If you're hungry, tell us. Let's help you. So I can't even share that. Ah, there's a testimony. If I come and eat in your house, you're going to have baby. I can't even share it. So that day, I went to their house. And as they served me, and I finished eating. I'm talking about channel and sauce. Channel and sauce. I'm going to have to round up now. My time is almost up. When I was done eating, the husband and wife knelt down. And I was praying for them. I've had many baby testimonies. And if you follow me on Instagram, I'm sure you must have seen a lot of it. A lot of it. I've lost count. Everywhere. Babies everywhere. So when this one does not work, this eating in the house is like the last card. As I was praying for them, I said, oh God, this thing I'm doing, what is the meaning of this thing? How am I eating in people's house? Is it a ritual? I don't have a scripture. I'm a stickler for the word. I love God's word and I stay within the boundaries of God's word. Listen to me. I don't do anything outside God's word. Anything I cannot explain outside, explain with God's word, I don't do it. Because it's just a little line between prophetic and occultism. I know. I stay within the word. Do I have a word for this? Is there a scripture for this? So as I was praying for them, but I was having a conversation with God in my heart. I said, this thing you are doing with my life, I don't understand it. I cannot even talk about it. What is the meaning of this? I don't have a scripture. These people had waited for me for over 1 year before I finally agreed to come into the house. And the Lord said to me, he said, Philip, my son. I said, yes, Lord. He said, didn't you read in the Bible how I went to eat in Abraham's house?
He said, I settle in thy wife. 25 years of promises. 25 years of promises. God had come to eat in his house. Thy wife, Sarah, will have a child. Sarah was laughing. So you call his name Isaac. I said, so it was you all the while. You are the one eating people's house up and down. The tears rolling down my eyes. I told them, I said, the Lord just spoke to me now. I never understood this thing. What a privilege to be able to carry God into people's houses. Of course, she called me 2 months after she was already pregnant. That's a channel. I'm trying to explain what it means to be a channel. And so God wants to bless his work, but he must find hands in his house. And that's why you cannot be thinking about yourself alone. You cannot be thinking about your children's school fees alone. You cannot. You must think about his work. You must think about the kingdom. You must think about this church. How can this church grow bigger than this? What do we need? How much are they paying for buses? How much is buses? Can you say, Pastor, I'm going to take one bus every Sunday and pay for it? Pastor, I'm going to pay for diesel every week. Can something be leaving your hands into God's work as a kingdom citizen? The Bible says, remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. That's why he gives you wealth. Lift up around the same channel. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost 1 minute? Member Kataya. Leborodoboko Shegadala Baba Bia Labata. Embam bam bam bilikim bilikim bobo rodoboko shigababa biataya. Ekabarada baka shangra dala bakata. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost? Pray. Can you pray? I can hear you pray. I will not be a mediocre. I will not be ordinary. Eka bam 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 be kam bam bo shaka bataya. Eraka baba shaka baba baba biata. Eka baba shaka mamba membo manga hikwa preka shaya. Hold the hands of your neighbor, pray. Jiji biliki bim bam bam beliki bulu taya. Eka kaba shiga baba babia bata. Pray. I need someone to pray. When you are here, when you are here, bring the Holy Ghost. Shake a baby, baby, eleva. When you heka esha kela ba 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 la ba ba la ba ta bam 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 bra ra ba ba la ba ta elege de bebe lebebe lebebe. You're going to pray one prayer. Lord, let my hands, let the kingdom spread through my hands, through my life. Let your kingdom spread. I will not be a mediocre. Make me a vessel in your house. Use my hands, use my legs, use my eyes, use my ears. Use it for the sake of your kingdom. Sheka pelata, ikwa parada bataya. Sheka kaka kaka. Bam 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 bia. Eka ba 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 bia batata. Sheka ba la ba 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 bia la bato. Eraka ba ba bataya. Use me for your glory. Use me for your glory.
time is up. My time is up. Thank you, Jesus. Embrodoshikate. Prelate lebaya. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Last prayer before I leave. Sorry, my time is up. If you're here, you're not even a citizen of the kingdom. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. You're the most important person here. No matter what God wants to use you for, He cannot use you from outside. You want to say, Pastor, please pray for me. I used to know Jesus, but I walked away from Him. I used to have a relationship with Him, but I'm no longer a child of God. Maybe you used to be a Christian, but you backslided. Or maybe you are here, you've never given your life to Christ before. You've always known church. I want you to please today, where you are, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. I want to make this as easy for them as possible. Please, where you are. I don't want to leave here without bringing you to Jesus. You want to say, Pastor, please pray for me. The song says, huh? That song says, where you are, can you lift up your right hands? I want to pray for you. You want to say, Pastor, please? You want to say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to come back to Jesus. If you're here, you used to know Jesus and you walked away, or you are here, you've never been born again. I want you where you are, all eyes closed, please. I'm even out of time. Just lift up your right hand. I want to pray for you before I leave. Your right hand. Thank you. God bless you for that hand. God bless you for that hand. God bless you. You want to come back to Jesus? You want to come to Jesus? Lift up your right hand. Let me pray with you. Can you please come out quickly? Quickly. Come and meet me here. Come quickly. Come. If you lift up your right hands, come quickly. Quickly, come. Come and meet me right here, please. Quickly. Quickly. Quickly, please. Quickly. Mambato shelebahaya. Reboko frate laba. Come out. Wherever you are, please come out quickly. Come and meet me here. This is where it starts. The kingdom work starts here. The kingdom journey starts here. God bless you. God bless you. Please come. God bless you as you come. God bless you. God bless you. That's where it starts from. God cannot use you if He doesn't own you. God cannot use you if you don't belong to Him. God cannot use you if you are not His own. He cannot use you if you are not His own. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Put your right hand on your chest. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I cannot save myself. I ask that you save me and that you wash my name from the book of death and write it in the book of life. I declare, Lord, that you're my Lord and my personal Savior. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, standing before me today are my new siblings. The family is getting bigger and bigger. I see what you're doing, Lord. You are drawing men to yourself. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you do for them what you have done for me. That you do to them what you have done to me. Keep them standing. Don't let them fall into the hands of the enemy. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. What are they supposed to follow? This way. Please follow this man here. Let's celebrate them as they go. Come on. Is that how much you celebrate what God has done? Jam those hands together.
Please stand to your feet, everyone. Don't clap yet. Stand to your feet, everyone. We're going to sing that song one more time. While you were singing that song, I felt a very strong nudge in my spirit that a lot of times when we struggle with God, it's very impossible for heaven to release resources to us. I want you to pray for those who are making up their mind to yield and surrender themselves. It's not receiving Jesus, because some people have received Jesus, but to release themselves, maybe their time, their resources, is a struggle. Their energy, all of that is a struggle. Because sometimes they think they are wise. Sometimes they think they are wise. So, but I feel that there are people here. They have Jesus, they have the Holy Spirit, but they are not yet surrendered to Him.
It's called the grace to yield, yieldedness, the grace for surrender.
Yes.
Yeah, surrender what God has put in you. God put something in your life. He's asking for your time. He's asking for your energy. And some of us is asking for, maybe you have a child and your child is showing signs like they want to go to do something for ministry and you're saying no.
They're saying
I mean,
no.
You're not going to go that. You're not going to do that. You know what I mean? You went to school. You have to do what you practice what you studied. Or money, resources. The Lord is putting resources in your hands and is asking you to give what He has put in your hands. There's a need for us to have that grace to yield it. We can sing the song.
Because I find out that there are some people who never leave a threshold of finances because they think that giving to God is a waste of time.
I surrender
all.